minutes late, and I think others, if they are still coming, will have to join and pick it up as we go along. I would like to take the opportunity to welcome you all after that morning greeting. My name is Lewenzi Mande, in case I get forgotten. My coach, we're having he's having quite a chunk of work from Parliament. I think he's in the ad hoc committee, so he is not with us today. Members, today we're considering the 2015 submissions, and bearing in mind that we also have the languages which we did in our previous meeting, but some of those languages, if you check if you check on your packs on submissions, we have only sign language that was resubmitted in 2015, and the other languages we were dealing with them as a legacy submissions. Therefore, and also as a result of the previous meeting, those members that were there would recall, and others in another meeting, we decided that languages were going to be given a specific focus on its session of the committee, and therefore we will come back to when PENSALP has responded to those issues that were raised with them in the previous meeting. And then engage and finalize on those language ones. But we will treat, I think, the deaf, the sign language one, not the deaf, the sign language one, as part of the 2015 as such. So we would not say, because it's in the languages, but given what they were indicating, PENSALP and the CRC. CRL. I think we would also, when we deal with each submission, then also have it. We're not going to exclude it per se today. If that is in order with members, we proceed with the apologies as we consider the agenda, members. We're now considering the agenda. The item. 4 is supposed to be the presentation members, number 5 on the agenda. The presenter is off sick, unfortunately, but we think that those we're proposing that those submissions that she was going to present, they're part of the list, right? Yes. They are part of the list, the 2015 submissions, that we will table them and then take that advice later, because there's nothing that stops us to look at it. So I'm proposing that we will look at it, but the presentation itself will fall off the agenda because she's not here to present that legal opinion on those two submissions. What are they, Sisanda? The one on Vuka Africa and Mr. Mbindwana, those two. They're still part of the deliberations, but the legal opinion on them won't be available. So that item on the presentation on them won't take place because she's off sick. That in order? All right. That's the agenda then for today. with those just slightly adjustments, can it be adopted? Right. Thank you for that. We have to look. We need to have quorum of what, Pat? 13. So we're way short of the quorum for adoption. Sorry. I knew I could see that. And Honourable Mwabe is also in full force. All right. So we then have to delay this item, skip it. Perhaps we will at some point get to the quorum and consider the minutes. So we'll go straight to the. Right. Members, we then consider the item that is assessing the desirability on the amendments as requested by the public and the entities that have submitted for 2015. And I think the easy way, they are categorized, if the memo is Sesanda. Thank you very much for that memo that you sent, reminding and capturing to help us to navigate through. You know, these submissions, and therefore we will follow, each numbering and the ordering, and I think that you also receive well-indexed and numbered files. Is that correct? See, I have Braille, so I'm not sure if all your files are properly numbered. Yeah, so you have all the submissions in the documents, and then we will then table the first submission, which is
good morning, honorable members. If I may take you through with the submissions so that we can decide on each one. There's 25 of them. I will then do it. I'll do them from number 1 to number 22, according to the deliberations on the desirability document that's dated 14 February 2017. On page 2, you will note that there's a table. The table states that the committee is advised to take into account the approved classification, the recommendations provided in the support documents, and the responses to clarity-seeking questions, which were given to members during the briefing on the 25th of November. Submission number 1 was from Mr. V. Tuma, and the section that he requested the committee to review was in Chapter 2 in the Bill of Rights, and it was Section 7.2, Section 10, Section 11, Section 25, and Section 25.3c. The proposed sections are, however, in terms of the recommendations in the supporting documents, they are covered in national legislation, and have the committee is then referred to the recommendations that were made in that regard. So with respect to those sections, they have been covered as was presented on the 25th of February. So members then need to deliberate on whether they feel there's a need to change these particular sections of the Constitution.
Right, honourable members, any takers on this submission?
Chair, I don't see any hands as yet, Chair.
And just a reminder, we haven't.
No, we haven't taken public
hearing. And we haven't interacted, members, just. We haven't interacted with the submitters, which the committee might feel that, you know, in order for us to move and they need more clarity questions before coming to that conclusion. We're not expecting really a conclusion today or anything of that sort, but that members, we now know that for our program, we have started with this process of each submission of 2015, if so that we it's for easy navigation of members and planning for their participation in the meetings of the committee. So we're not expecting that it's a cut and dry decision now. Hence, we're saying that we haven't interacted. It's the start of the process. Honorable Bongo.
Yeah, thank you very much, Chair. I think we have, as you said, a lot of submission. And I take it that the team that you're working with would look at those submissions and also be able to advise the committee as to the issue relating to desirability of that change. But if the team also advises that these provisions, as they were requested, they are already covered for in a particular national legislation, I think we can also dispose of some of those ones so that we don't pile a lot of submission before us without the real merit. So if the whole team has made a determination that this one is covered by this particular legislation, I think it should suffice that we put that one aside and also write to those submitters that having considered their submission, the committee feels that such amendments are covered in the constitution or in the national legislation. Thank you.
Honorable Self?
Yes, Chair, we agree with that recommendation, and I don't think that there's a necessity to take it any further.
I take it that the first one falls off, that the submitter would then be advised accordingly in terms of the view of the committee on this matter. The second one?
The second one, members, is CR2 of 2015 by Mr. D. McGilligadi, and his section that he's requesting the committee to consider for review is in Chapter 5, and it deals with the President. This is Section 88, Subsection 2. And the proposed review in terms of the recommendations that were made in the support documents is already provided for within the wording of Section 88, Subsection 2. Just to refresh the members, I've got the supporting documents. I'll just read through them briefly to refresh members. Section 88.2 states that no person may hold office as president for more than two terms, but when a person is elected to fill a vacancy in the office of the president, the period between that election and the next election of the president is not regarded as a term. Mr. McGiddy was an Irishman who had written to the committee a few months before he left and submitted this submission and requesting the committee to limit the presidential term to 5-year terms. When that section is read within the Constitution as it stands, it would seem that it is provided for as it is already. The Constitution does not allow for a third term as it currently stands, so the submission is already covered.
Any agreement? Right, thanks.
Submission 3 is by Mr. A. Mamakgase. Mr. A. Mamakgase does not state a particular section which he requires the committee to consider, but requests the committee to provide copies of the Constitution. This particular submission was categorized under Category 3 because it's not really in line with the committee's mandate, but the committee can then write to Mr. Mamakgase and direct him to the Department of Corrections and Constitutional Development in order to request that copies of the constitutions be issued to that municipal court that is in Limpopo, where he's from. And members can decide on the desirability of this one.
the proposal members that we just write to that person and let it fall off? Right, agreed.
Submission four is, the fourth submission is CR12 of 2015, and it was submitted by the SOS Coalition to review Chapter 9 institutions in order to include the South African Broadcasting Corporation. This submission was made in two parts. There was a cover letter, and then subsequently they sent the full information of what they wanted to change. And the submission is also covered in CR13 of 2015, and it covers the same subject matter. This matter has been extensively dealt with by Parliament in recently, and is a matter that can be considered by the Committee on Communications. And it does not really necessitate a change of the Constitution, as that committee has the oversight role to ensure that South African broadcasting is regulated efficiently. So this was recommended not to the committee. The committee was advised that it is not necessary to make the SABC another Chapter 9 institution. So members can then vote on it.
Any takers, members? Agreed. All right.
Thank you, members. So 4 and 5 were exactly the same. The one was a cover letter from the SOS Coalition, so I'm moving on to number 6. Number 6 was CR4 of 2015, and it was submitted by the Kingdom Governance Movement. This submission was quite extensive, if members will remember, and it was covered by 3 legal advisors on the 25th of November last year. And basically, the legal advisor gave extensive advice stating that most of the information that was requested to be changed in the Constitution with regard to this can be covered in the traditional courts bill and other national legislations, and it doesn't necessitate a change of the Constitution.
Bus?
Chair, when we discussed this, I held a different position to the legal advisers because they indicated there was a suggestion, and whilst I don't necessarily agree with the proposed wording, there was a legal opinion that we cannot insert the preamble, an amendment to the preamble, because we are a secular state. And the suggested preamble here referred to God. I don't necessarily agree with the wording, but I took issue with the legal advisers to say that the Western Cape Constitution accepts a preamble that states in humble submission to Almighty God. And so, Chair, the argument that the Constitutional Court upheld when they considered the Western Cape Constitution was that there is space for constitutional deism. And so I asked the legal advisers to reconsider their legal opinion in the light of various court cases. So this might be an issue that we hold over until we have received further legal input on that proposal, Chair. I don't think we should just, at this stage, reject the proposals on the basis of the legal advice sought. And Chair, I might add that a similar argument was raised a number of years ago when I served on this committee, and the committee upheld my argument, and the legal advisers went back and said yes. Once they'd reconsidered the various court decisions that I'd referred them to, they came back and said we in the ACDP were in fact correct. So, Chair, with respect, I think this is not this particular submission we should hold back. I'm not saying that I am supporting the particular wording, but we need to be careful of accepting a sentiment, a legal opinion, when we have differing views on that. Thank you, Chair.
All right, members, is that proposal from...
Maybe you can just hold it in abeyance. We don't necessarily have to deal with it today, Chair.
Okay, all right. Okay.
Chair, there doesn't seem to be any prejudice in holding it over, and we can wait until the legal advisors are here and can comment on it.
Okay. All right. Honourable Bongo?
Yeah, thanks, Chair. I think over and above what the Honourable Self is saying, we may also investigate a possibility of calling the submitters to make a presentation to the committee so that we also interact directly with them, with the legal advisors, if possible. Thanks.
Agreed. We bring them. All right.
Next one is number 7. Please note, honourable members, these are the ones that were referred for legal opinions, as rightly noted by the members. Number 7 was CR8 of 2015, and it was by Mr. B. Mbindwane, and he was requesting a review of Chapter 8, which deals with the courts and administration of justice, in particular Section 167 all the way to Section 170. The recommendations which were presented to the committee in this regard was that the proposed amendments are, according to legal opinion, not necessary. The Constitution provides for the concerns raised in the submission, but the matters remain a policy matter for this committee to decide on whether it will review the Constitution or not. Over to you, members.
Yes, members. Honourable Bongo.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. I think from where I'm sitting, I'm quite comfortable with the provisions of Chapter 8 of the Constitution. And I think that and I don't quite get clearly the lacuna that the submitter wants us to rectify. So I think we may have to assisted by the technical staff, look at the policies, but I don't think it's for this committee. Maybe it's a matter of the Justice Committee, if there is a specific matter, but from where I'm sitting, I'm comfortable with the provision of Chapter 8 as they are.
So, all right, so I guess then it's not carried for further consideration. Right.
The following one is number 8, and this one was submitted by Mr. L. Mangongwa, and this was the one that was referring to South African Sign Language. It was a request for the committee to review the fact that South African Sign Language needs to be migrated from Section 6.5 to Section 6.1, which lists the official 11 official languages of South Africa. In this regard, Section 6.5 of the Constitution recognizes South African Sign Language as an unofficial language that the PANSELB must promote and create conditions for the development of the use of the language. The legal advisors went on to state to the committee that the South African Schools Act also recognizes sign language as an official language for use in public schools. It noted that the Use of Official Languages Act requires that a language policy must be applied in national departments, in public entities, or in enterprises in order to sufficiently facilitate communications within the public whose language is South African Sign Language. The Pan-South African Language Board Act directs the board to then initiate the research and the promotion and the use and the development of all languages in South Africa, including the Khoi Sign Languages and South African Sign Language. So the committee was advised that the decision to amend Section 6.1 to include South African Sign Language as an official language is a policy consideration to be decided by the committee, and that there is no legal obstacle that prevents the committee and Parliament from such a consideration. Over to you, members.
Yeah, honourable members, I know Prof. Lottering, Honourable Bongo, Bjorkman, in the previous meeting of last week, the third of February, we received, and they were already almost at the conclusion on this one. on the readiness, the state of readiness of the PENSALP and relevant entities to engage on this matter. So it's now almost at the end of it. So can we take Prof and Honorable Bongo?
Thank you, Chairperson. I think indeed it is a matter for this committee to consider, and I think also based on the presentations we had on the 3rd of February by PANSALB as well as the CRL, I think indeed this is something that we could discuss and deliberate in a very positive manner.
Honorable Bongo?
Yeah, thanks, Chair. I agree with Prof. I think the matter is long overdue. You'll recall from the presentations that we made on the 3rd of February, it will appear the matter is long overdue. And I just want to request the committee that let's follow a process of taking this matter to the House. Part of the things that we canvassed was that about over 47 countries have already done, made this an official language. So I think it's a matter that is ready to go to the House so that we amend the Constitution to put sign language as part of Section 6.1 of the Constitution. Thank you.
All right, member. So process-wise on this one, we'll make a recommendation to the House in preparation for the relevant committee, so the desirability that we think that it's worth being the amendments is worth being considered, right, to change the that section on the Constitution. All right. Okay, we'll follow the processes. Sandra, it's now on your purview to prepare whatever, if there's any necessary document or a separate report on this one, right? Yeah. Yeah, there will be a recommendation report that we'll have to present to the House. Right. Next one. Can I just verify, is that Devsa wanting to speak? Or Honorable Trichan? Okay, all right. Over to you.
Thank you, Chairperson. From Wilma Nier Druchen, member of the ANC, voicing me as Francois Dysel. Sorry, my former voice is not here because she's attending an interpreter workshop at another place. But in case I leave this before this committee finish, I would like to say thank you to this committee for all the members present, for making this matter to the House and making this recommendation to the House. The deaf community in South Africa has been waiting for this, and I would like to, from the bottom of my heart, thank you for accepting this to go to the House.
Thank you, Ronald Velma. I know you've been so vocal for the past 15, 17 years on this one. All right. Within Parliament, a lone voice, indeed. Thanks, members. We're taking the next one.
Submission 11 is reference CR17 of 2015, and it was submitted by the South African Local Government Association, and they were requesting a review in Chapter 4 of Section 67 on voting rights, in Chapter 6 on Section 139 on provincial intervention in local government. They also requested a review in Chapter 7 of Section 163 on organized local government. And basically, to start with the first section, Section 67 on voting rights, the submission stated that there was more to participation in the NCOP. There's more to participation than just deliberating along with members. They were requesting that SALGA be given the right to vote in the NCOP, especially regarding matters that affect local government issues. With regard to this submission, with this particular section, the legal advice was based on case law and also another section of the Constitution, section 154 subsection 2, and this states that the voting is not the only form of participation. Therefore, this is a policy decision for members to make and consider whether it is desirable for voting rights to be extended to SALGA representatives within the National Council of Provinces. Over to you, members. We'll do it section by section.
Let's take that one, members. The Honourable Self.
Yes, thank you very much. I think that the legal advice is in the first place correct in the sense that participation in the meaning of the Constitution, and certainly as I recollect it when we drew up the chapter on the National Council of Provinces, it was intended to give a voice to local government, not to give a vote to local government. The other problem, quite frankly, is that SALGA itself, although there is a statute that makes it, confers on it the status of being organized local government, is not the only institution that represents local government. And so what we are trying to do here is we are trying to not only give a voice but also a vote to an organization which I'm not entirely convinced is truly representative of all the local governments in South Africa, in the same way that a provincial government, having gone through a legitimate election, is the voice of that province.
Any other takers? Yes, Honourable Bongo?
I agree with you, Honourable Self. I think this, on the other hand, you know, now that we have these three spheres of government with their distinct responsibilities, it may bring unintended consequences that we give that SALGA gets a vote to this matter. I think I agree with the legal advisors on their recommendation.
Okay, it's quite complex, you know. Provincial legislatures vote only in the NCOP only on the matter of national interest, you know. But a provincial matter remains a provincial matter within a particular province. So it is complex. So it falls off. They will be advised on this aspect of their submission.
With regard to the second aspect of the same submission by SALGA, Section 139, which deals with provincial intervention and local government, their submission is basically about the provision not being aligned with the broad cooperative and intergovernmental principles of respect, mutual trust, and good faith as required by Section 41 of the Constitution. This is what they were alleging in their submission. However, the committee was advised that the proposal to direct municipalities to disclose non-compliance, detailing the support to be offered by a province, does not infringe the idea associated with the principle of cooperative governance. The proposed is a policy issue for this committee to then decide upon its desirability. Over to you, members.
Members, Honourable Swart, Honourable Bongo, in that order.
No, Chair, I'm in agreement with the legal advice and also the fact that desirability. I do not think that we should amend the provisions of Section 139. It was inserted for urgent intervention in municipalities. We have a mirror provision in Section 100 where national government can intervene in provinces. And I think that it is only when there are urgent crises in municipalities that there is this step is taken. There's full reporting to the NCOP in Section 139. So I don't think it should be an incremental, because already there would have been a number of steps taken before one reaches the step of using Section 139. So there are a lot of steps that would have already precipitated that. So I don't think that there is a desirability to amend Section 139 in that regard. Thank you, Chair.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. I think this is one of the perfectly drafted section in this constitution. If you look at the road map on how you get to section 139 and how you get down section 139, 1, 2, 3, and so on, I think it shows that there's a high level objectivity in terms of the decision that anyone must take in terms of intervention. Because even that intervention, it will tell you that it's a partial intervention, it's a total intervention, but you do that intervention with a high level consultation. Because there's a role given by given to the NCOP to do, other than the provincial government. The NCOP must still comment. Certain procedures must have been followed. You must have also at a particular point followed 106 of the constitution before you get into that step. So I think this section must be protected the way it is. It's a well-drafted section of the constitution.
Honourable Self.
Yes, thank you, Chairperson. I think the other important thing to note is that there is case law on this. Specifically, the Overberg case, which was heard in about 2010 or thereabouts, and that specifically dealt with the requirements of mutual trust and good faith. In other words, that the decision could not be taken irrationally, or that there were certain criteria that had to be met objectively before Section 139 intervention could take place. So I think both in terms of the common law and the constitutional law, I don't see a necessity for this at all.
Yeah, no, thank you, members. I think also we are a little bit behind in terms of giving expression to this concern because there's already, I think, a consensus with the NCOP and local government on regulations that have been outstanding for quite some time. I think Clause 8 of this Section 139 wanted these matters to be taken further through regulations, and I think the executive has been promising that they will bring them. The last promise is that this year. Let's hope that we will be the Parliament will be seized with those regulations, which will assist them. They will then be advised as well on this aspect of their submission on the view of the committee.
The next section that SAGA requested the committee to review was Section 163 on organized local government. They state that, part of the advice is that the Organized Local Government Act is aimed at giving effect to Section 163, but however they're saying that it omits to facilitate organized local government's participation in provincial legislatures. In this regard, the committee was advised that the request can be met by Parliament broadening national legislation, namely the Local Government Act. Furthermore, budget details which they requested to be put into the Constitution cannot be put into the Constitution due to the nature of maintaining the Constitution as a broad document that is adaptable by its nature. The PFMA is also a type of legislation where this proposal can be considered to be factored into. So ultimately, it's for the committee to decide whether it's desirable to change Section 163. However, this was the advice given in terms of this particular section. Over to you, members.
Members? All right, so agreed. All right.
Okay, members, that concludes the SAGA submission in its entirety. The 12th submission that was sent to the committee is referenced CR 18 of 2015, and it was by Mr. G. Travis. And this was also requesting a review within Chapter 8, which deals with courts and administration of justice, in particular Section 165. The submission itself examines the constitutional principles, international and regional best practice, and the administrative and financial independence of the judiciary. The committee in this regard was advised that at the time, the Constitution's 17th Amendment introduced norms and standard through the Superior Courts Act. It is clear that the matter requested for review was taken into account when this act was passed. What is proposed is not the correct legislative design to be added to the Constitution. Therefore, legal services advise the committee not to consider reviewing Section 165 in terms of what was submitted in this particular submission. Over to you, members. Submission 13 is the submission that also required legal advice, but is the one where the legal advisor was not able to attend the committee, and the submission was, just to refresh members, requesting a revision of the preamble of the Constitution and sections in the Bill of Rights, Section 7.2, Section 11, regarding the right to life, Section 36, and Section 39. The legal advisor will then be given an opportunity to defend his advice to the committee and present when he is available to do so.
Hold over.
Hold over.
Number 14 is Submission 20 by Mr. Mashile. Mr. Mashile requested a review of Chapter 1, the founding provisions. Basically, it was regard to changing the fact that South Africa belongs to all who live in it, which includes, it was regarding the inclusion of traditional leaders within aspects and various sections of the Constitution. So the inclusion he was requesting in the preamble, it was advised that it cannot be actually considered by the committee because traditional leaders are by implication covered by the fact that South Africa belongs to all who live in it and not in particular traditional leaders. So it covers everyone. Over to you, members. The next section of Mr. Mashile's submission was a review of Section 42.2 with regard to cooperative government. The committee has advised that the NA and the NCOP cannot include traditional leaders as they are not democratically elected leaders in terms of the processes of democracy. Over to you, members. The third aspect of the submission was a revision of Section 73, which was the bill consideration in the Constitution, and the advice is that national legislation, namely Section 18 of the Traditional Leadership and Governance Framework Act, 14 of 2003, beg your pardon, members, covers the proposed review that the person was asking the committee to consider. So it was advised that it's not desirable to amend Section 73. The fourth aspect which the submitter requested the committee to consider was Section 105, which was the composition and election of provincial legislatures. In this regard, Section 16 of the Traditional Leadership and Governance Framework Act recognizes the Provincial House of Traditional Leadership. Section 2 and Section 2, capital B, requires premiers to recognize traditional communities and their leaders, and therefore it does not necessitate a change of the Constitution. Over to you, members. The fifth aspect that the submission was requesting the committee to review was Section 166 with regard to judicial systems, to review them in order to include traditional courts. The advice in this regard is that Schedule 6, Item 16, Subsection 6, Subsection A, rationalizes all courts, including traditional courts. The exercise has not been finalized since the Traditional Courts Bill has lapsed in Parliament. However, this process will be continued. The CRC was therefore advised to reject the proposal to allow the process that's already been undertaken by Parliament to be finalized. in line with the Constitution. Therefore, Section 66 should not be amended in order to include traditional courts. Over to you, members.
Right. Mr. Bongo. Yeah, thanks, Chair. I think it's now public knowledge that the traditional courts bill is back to Parliament for further consultations. And I think the submitter must be advised along those sides. But we're not necessarily rejecting the submission, like it is said. It's not a rejection, but it's just to advise in terms of the processes that Parliament is busy with in terms of the traditional courts bill. So once it is finalized, maybe some of the aspects that have been raised would be considered. Thanks.
Right. Well, on the communique, we will inform them that that process is on, and that they still have a right to resubmit on the next announcement for submissions. All right.
The sixth aspect that this submitter requested the committee to look into was section 211, subsection 1, and he was requesting an addition of co-signed leaders. The advice in this regard is that if the Traditional Leaders Governance Framework Act does not recognize co-signed leaders and communities, it is the obligation of the Northern Cape and Western Cape premiers to perhaps do so. The CRC, in terms of the legal opinion which was provided, was then advised not to commend Section 211, subsection 1 of the Constitution. Over to you, members.
All right.
The seventh aspect of this submission was a request for the review of Section 212, subsection 2, and they requested a review of, in order to add the following, the role of the House of Traditional Leaders operating as a lower house of parliament. The advice that was given to committee was that the Traditional Leadership and Governance Framework Act and the National House of Traditional Leaders Act are national legislations which have been envisaged in terms of Section 212 of the Constitution and have done what the submission is seeking to request from the committee, and therefore changing the Constitution is not necessary. Over to you, members.
Members. Agreed. All right. Yes, Honourable Swar?
I think there's another aspect to it. It's not only that the National House is being created, but that if you have a lower House of Parliament, Parliament is implied as a democratic institution, and the House of Traditional Leaders is not a democratic institution. Therefore, over and above any other technical considerations, it's in principle a bad idea for it to be part of Parliament.
Okay. Right. At that aspect. Next one.
The last aspect of the request to review the Constitution from the submitter was Section 178, which establishes the Judicial Service Commission. And the submitter was seeking to include the House of Traditional Leaders in the JSC. The advice in this regard was the inclusion of the House of Traditional Leaders in the Judicial Service Commission. The committee has advised that it's not desirable and it's not the submitter did not substantiate fully why the House of Traditional Leaders needs to be included in the JSC. However, the legal advisors did not find any basis for the inclusion and advised that basically it is a policy decision that has to be taken by the committee at political level and at executive authority level. Over to you,
members. All right. It's just too complicated for anything. All right. It's rejected. So you've presented the whole thing now. All right. So they will be advised accordingly on those aspects of their submission. On this one?
No,
I was just saying on this submitter. All right, next one.
The 15th submission that came through to the committee in 2015 was reference CR 22 of 2015, and it was by Mr. McClellan. and he requested a review in Chapter 1, the founding provisions, which consist of the preamble. The case law, as according to the legal advisors, case law and the Constitutional Court also held that the invocation of a deity in the Constitution does not amount to discrimination against non-believers, and legal advisors advised the committee that this submission is not desirable, as it is it's an acceptable practice to include the use of the word of using God in reference to the preamble. Over to you, members.
Members?
Agreed.
Agreed. Right, members, we done. Yeah, we're now taking those that generally are not on, we have no legal advice on, or legal opinions on. Right, next.
Just a point of order, just maybe in terms of the decision-making, is there still a quorum outstanding, or is there a quorum in terms of the decision?
There isn't a quorum, right? We don't have a quorum. Why are you raising the point of order, Honourable Member?
No, it's important that if there's a formal decision in terms of submissions, of course there must be a quorum for the decision to carry. That's the point I'm making here.
Honourable Self?
Yes. May I then make a procedural suggestion, because I think it is important that we do these things properly, that at the next meetings, so that rather than go through the whole thing all over again, we then produce a summary of what we recommend to the committee,
okay,
and then just take that decision as a single item.
Okay. Yes, Honourable Bonga.
Yeah, thanks. I agree with the Honourable Self. I think we may present this for ratification, but my further input will be we may be multiplying our own efforts by zero to consider what was not legally opined. So I'm suggesting that those that were not legally opined, we take them back for a legal opinion, so that we get to be consistent on what we say and what we do, because whatever we've done now, which must be rectified when there is a quorum, it was also on the basis of a legal opinion given. Thank you.
Okay. Are you agreeing with that proposal, Honourable Salt?
Yes, thank you. Chair, may I just, I made an input earlier on the Kingdom Governance Movement, but I think it should have related to the matter which relates to the preamble in which we are awaiting the legal opinion. I think we suggested that we should invite Kingdom Governance Movement, but maybe we need to just consider that submission first and look at the legal advice before we decide to invite any members. Maybe we should just hold that in abeyance, because I notice going through the Kingdom Governance Movement that they actually don't refer to the preamble, and it's a later submission which we then decided to hold over for the legal opinions to defend their position on that. So just to my position is to make it very clear that I would like to debate the issue of the preamble with the legal advisors, and that's relating to the later submission where we agreed to that, Chair.
Okay, agreed. That okay, all right. So we will do according to that, and then that we don't. Attention has been drawn that we don't have the quorum, and we can't consider the minutes. It brings us to the end of the meeting. Content advisor suggests that let's also have a view of the committee on those ones that they generally assess not to fall within the purview of the committee or the mandate of the committee. Right, let's take those.
Just for clarity, members, the following ones that I'm going to do now were categorized under Category 3 and did not relate to the committee's mandate, and the committee did approve the categorization. However, they just, or we also just need to then officially just state whether it is desirable or not to then change whatever, to actually consider them, because they did come through to the committee. So these ones are from number from page 7 of the document that I've been reading from. Number 16 is then these from number 16 to number 22, which would then finalize this presentation, would be the ones that do not relate to the mandate. The first one, which is in the 16th submission, is reference CR 5 of 2015, and it was by Mr. Rains. And with reference to the support documents, this particular submission was in fact in the form of a petition, and the committee is then was advised that it should just refer this this particular submission to the Committee on Petitions and Executive Undertakings. Over to you, members.
Are we agreeing with that?
Yes.
Yeah. Right.
All right.
Okay. So all of them.
All right, Chair. I'll then just go through all of them, members. Number 17 was CR6 by Mr. Benson, and he did not propose a section which requires to be reviewed, and his original submission is in the file. Number 18 was by Mr. Ngosi, and it's reference CR7, and he was requesting 50% representation within government, which was also not a specific section that he was asking the committee to change in the Constitution. Number 19 was reference CR11 of 2015 and was by Mr. Mamakhase. He also did not particularly state a section in the Constitution, but wrote his dissatisfaction with crime in the country. Beg your pardon, members, was CR15 of 2015, also no proposed section, and it was referenced to dissatisfaction to e-tolls and the extension of RDP houses to people in his community. Number 21 was by Mr. D. Williams. He also wrote poems, and he, as an official of the Department of Correctional Services, and he was just sharing with the committee work that he has done over the years. And it also did not request a change in the Constitution. The final submission was Mr. Ngobese. He also did not propose a section for review. However, he expressed his dissatisfaction with national legislation, and this was also part of the layover submissions which were received from the previous parliament. Thank you, members. That would then total all 22 submissions which were received in 2015.
Yeah. So members, as agreed earlier, we will then take also these ones, a separate recommendation for them to fall off in the next curating meeting. And that brings us to the end of...
Chair.
Yes?
I just want to find out, is it possible that even us as members can make the submissions, or we can agree here on matters that you must look into in the Constitution, because there are critical sections that may need a thoroughgoing debate, even if you have listened even to the State of the Nation of the President, you can see that we may need to do some work in terms of changing some of the critical clauses in the Constitution.
Yeah, in the next round, there's no limitation as to who should. It says entities and citizens. I guess members are not exempted. Honorable Velma, Trishan.
Chair, thank you very much. Just a request from this aside. Can the committee secretary just write a letter to DEFSA to inform DEFSA what the committee decided in terms of submitting the issue of sign language to the House, if that could be possible? Thank you very much. Thank you, Chair.
Yeah, the submitters are, yes, the submitters are always informed in terms of their submission. All right, honourable members, we want to thank you and thank DEFSA for taking interest and keep it here. They are here. The executive director is here. national director is here. So thank you, members. And
Chair,
yes, member?
I've not seen the attendance register.
True. Bet. Yes. All right, members, so we close the meeting and we thank you for your time, and we note the consistent members who really take their time and help us to navigate through this important work. We will impress upon other members to make sure that they do understand